Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 6, Faith and Acceptance.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable.
Even though Amen, 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 amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling in Baton Rouge from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I am your host for this evening. Let us have a word of prayer, and we're going to read a scripture. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, to thank you once again for this Sunday that we can get on the prayer line, Father, to worship upon you, to send your Holy Spirit down to us that we may worship you in spirit and truth. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they can come to share their testimonies, share the song, share whatever the Lord has put in their heart to give him praise. And Father, I thank you once again for you allowing me to be the host. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to lead and guide me on this prayer line. Help me, Father, to be all I can be because of you. Father, I'm asking this evening, Father, to help me as I open your scriptures. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may share your word and speak the word of God, which is all truth. And we ask him for a blessing on his prayer line tonight. Be with us, sisters and brothers, as we come just to testify, to show love towards one another. Bless each and every one of us. And Father, we pray for all those that join us from other countries, Lord, and you know who they are. We have seen some names on this prayer on our board. And it's from Canada. We got quite a few. Netherlands. I can't remember all. But, Father, I'm asking you to touch their heart. And when they come on to listen, Father, give them a blessing on this prayer line. May they hear something that will draw them closer to you. So, Father, I thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen. And sisters and brothers, I was just playing the song, and I thought in my heart, I had did my little Bible study this morning on something different, but I thought in my heart, read Isaiah 40, I thought about how you shall mount up with wing of eagle, and I was playing scripture songs, and when I was getting a scripture, I realized that's what the lady was saying. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. So I wanted to just read that just to open up the word. Amen. So I'm reading Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And, you know, I love that scripture on my wall because I remember a long time ago, this was the scripture that I kept in my heart and always prayed that I need to wait upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we get weary and well doing, I used to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. And I used to sing and sing, I'm going to wait on him. And as my other scripture in Psalms talks about, wait on the Lord. And he said, I say wait on the Lord. And so that I kept in mind. And then finally, Brother Ray came in my life. So I just want to thank God for providing, because I needed the help. I thank God that he provided. So now, as we begin to open the line, we ask that you press 1. But if no one pressed 1 yet, I just want to share this next scripture. And that's Isaiah 66. You know, when we wait on the Lord, we know that our faith will be tried. And I want to read 66. And I want to read 2 scriptures there. It says in 66, I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 4 and 5. It says, for all those things had mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor or a contrite spirit and trembling at my word. And I'm going to read verses 4. Choose their delusion, and I will bring their fear upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you and cast you out of my name, Satan, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So the Lord is telling us that, you know, all the things that we have seen, he delivered us, and he just wants us to hear him. And he said, tremble at his word. Lord have mercy. And brothers and sisters, we are to love our God, whom has did all for us. We have not done nothing but evil, but yet he still loved us and gave himself for us. And now we are so grateful that many are changing and turning their hearts to God. So just reading the word of God, we see how many are changing and coming to the Lord. So we're just going to keep praying. We're going to lift friends and family on the prayer line later on. So brothers and sisters, we ask that you just press 1 and we can begin to open your line. Amen. 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 I will open your line. Amen. 518-951, your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading those scriptures. And I'm Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. God is so good. Yes, the Lord wants us to wait on him. And as you was reading this scripture, I was glimpsing this morning about the Psalms, right? And it took me to the interpretive notes of Jesus Christ, what, and his disciples. And I do know, as he said, we must wait upon him in everything we do. And if we wait and believe that he is able to do all things, we know we will be victorious, my dear beloved. And as I was reading Psalms, it said, when the 11 disciples were gathered behind locked doors, on the night of Christ's resurrection, right? Resurrection. And fearful, because remember Jesus died, so they were in locked door, and they were fearful, right? And the Lord said, we must not be fearful. He said, then the Lord entered the room, remember his resurrection, and said to them, peace be with you. And we find that in Luke 24:36. What he bought to the disciples, he can bring to the mind and heart of any individual who will let him in. So as you said, the Lord wants us to let him in our heart, want us to have him as his personal Savior. And Jesus began his discourse to the disciples. That's how we get the message, the old thing with his disciples. And then these messages go out from the disciples to us. And now we are sharing his love and what happened to him and how he died and how he rise and how he's coming back the second time. He said, look, Jesus, after the disciples was frightened, Jesus showed them, look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. So that is a mark that we all going to see right when our Savior comes. His hands and his feet, that is what he showed his disciples. You can see that is really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, right? Because they were saying that he is a ghost, right? So Jesus wants them to prove that he is Jesus Christ. He is the one who was crucified. He on the cross to save us from sin. And he is the one that resurrects. So he said, look at my feet. You can see that is really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts does not have bodies as you see that I do. Then he turned to them and said, do you have anything here to eat? Jesus concluded by saying, when I was with you before, I told you, right? I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, and as the Psalms, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And Luke had, right? This is Luke said, then he opened their mind to understand the scripture. And we find that in Luke. Thus it is on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we are fine. Christ is in the Psalm. No one can properly understand the cross or fathom why Jesus endured in agony without having studied the Psalm. For example, when we read Luke 24, we see the relationship of Psalms 1. The first three verses of Psalms 1 convey, shall be one who does not follow, advises the wicked blessed. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow and advise of the wicked or join in with mockers, but they delight in the Lord of the Lord, meditated on the day and night. They are like planted along the riverbank, burning fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they see. I will wait. So God showed the disciples. He told them before, right, what was going to happen. And just as he told the disciples, he's telling us now that all these things is written in the Psalm and in the book that is there for us to read, that he is coming back, right? We saw his resurrection, the first advent of him, his resurrection, and the disciples, they did not believe. They thought it was a ghost. But now when the second time, when he will be coming back, my dear beloved, each one of us will know is Jesus Christ, because if we be faithful, my dear beloved, we will saw him in the sky and his foot will not touch the earth. And if we are faithful, we will be changed. But the dead in Christ will rise. So I am so grateful to know that all these wonderful promises and words of comfort that the Lord had given unto us, that we ever saw, I personally, each one of us, have something right within our heart through the Holy Spirit to know that one day soon and very soon, all what we are going through, all what I saw in the world, even a while ago, I heard of one of my dear sisters in Guadeloupe had passed of a massive heart attack. Friday, I went to a young man's funeral who died in his bed. I heard killing. I heard all different things is happening. The education system, they do not want to define a woman as a mother. You know, all these things is happening. They are teaching the children sexual orientation on all these things in the classroom. So we know that Jesus told us in his word. So I am so grateful for the word, Sister Leola. I am so grateful for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he has given me through the word and given us through the word, that we can realize to know that we are actually nearing home. This is a time that we here, myself and others, we have to just prepare for and be ready for that great day, because we do not know when our probation. So I thank God for everything that he has been doing, my dear beloved. I got some rest today, and I'm grateful for the rest. Grateful for the rest, despite of the bad news I hear, I can just say, but I can give you a good news. The good news, despite of the bad news, I got a report from the project that we are doing, Advent Light, are doing in Jamaica with the team. We have Robert, Barry, and Trevor, right? And the three of them was working today. And the good news that they are doing some work, and I saw what they are doing. Although they say that they run out of material, but they're still using up what they have. And I said, that's good work, good news. And I know the Lord is going to make a way, and he is going to provide for us so that we will be able to achieve some material. God is so good. He is worthy to be praised. So that is the good news. I just have to say a good news again. Last week, Sunday, this time, I was in Louisiana, right, and preparing, getting ready to actually pack up to come home Tuesday. And I have to say that I have spent a good time in Louisiana. I met my dear sister Brenda and brother John for the first time. We had a wonderful time together, sharing Sister Leola, Brother Ray, and everyone. We have a wonderful time with evil, those who unfortunate, people. Have a blessed time with Jarvis, who, is there. And we just continue to pray for Jarvis and those who we met, so that, God will touch his heart so that he will be able to go and help his mom to do the missionary work. I have met new sisters, Sister Arlene and Sister Lovely, Lord, and I'm telling you, those people, they are elderly people, but they love the Lord, and they are working for the Lord, and I just want to thank God for them. Also, thanks, Sister Nicole, for housing us in our home, and it was wonderful. We had a good time together. So we are seeing you all. Let us continue to pray for the missionary work over there, that as the seed have been planted, so that those crops, those seed will grow and bear fruit, so that these individuals will come to know you, know the Lord, and worship the Lord, and also share with others. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my life. God bless. Bye-bye. Amen. Amen, Sister Leola.
Amen. Amen. I can hear you, Sister Powell. I tell you, Sister Powell, I am grateful for you all. And when you got here, I was so happy. It was like I hadn't seen you all in years. But I think it may have been just a couple of years. But it was so happy to see all of you again. And just to know that Advent Light came to Louisiana and just blessed us. I'm telling you, it was truly a blessing. So, but I just wanted to let everyone know that we do not have a speaker tonight. I tried to find one, but I was seeing something that I was going to play on the board, and I just will play. It's at the bottom. I would say later, because I got to pull it up. But yes, Sister Power, as you mentioned, the blessing of the disciples, how Christ said that we ought to be those disciples now to do the work. And as we was out there, we can see how sisters and brothers was praying for people and just doing all the things that Christ has said. You know, the people were so happy to get the little gifts and to be prayed for and to get them a little something to eat and have even sit down and rest. They were so receptive of prayers. So many wanted prayer. They prayed for their family. Even a young man that I prayed with, when I saw that young man had tears in his eyes, whatever he's going through, let us lift them all up tonight collectively, because, you know, they are hurting. They just don't say. Everybody don't say, but that young man that I sit there and pray with, he had tears in his eyes, and he said for his family. And I just felt so bad for him. Not to say that he's homeless or whatever, but to know that he cares about his family and wants prayers. So, yes, as we are here on the prayer line, and it is so special that we all here are doing just what God asks us to do, to keep all that in prayer. So thank you, Sister Powell, for coming in and sharing with us, and especially just giving that encouragement how Christ have taught his disciples, and then you laid it out that we should be doing the same work. So thank you so much. And okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. It's just us on here. So by God's grace, we're going to have to share with one another until others join. Amen. So let me open the next line. So thank you, sisters and brothers, for joining. It's just a few. The Bible say where there's two or three, he's gathered in the midst. So we open the next line, 4423-635. Your line is open, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. And I just thank him for this opportunity to come together with my brothers and sisters, encourage each other, and those that are listening via the internet. It's a privilege to be with brothers and sisters and to encourage them. A friend sent me another text phone number, a Zoom line that was meeting today, this evening, earlier, and they were from Canada, South Africa, and different places. And I was like, praise the Lord, there's people throughout the world praying for others. But I just want to share something from a reading today. I was listening to a sermon, and it talks about the power of speech. It says, the power of speech is a talent that should be diligently cultivated. Of all the gifts we have received from God, none is capable of being a greater blessing than this. With the voice, we convince and persuade. With it, we offer prayer and praise to God, and with it, we tell others of the Redeemer's love. How important, then, that it be trained as to be most effective for good. This is taken from Christ Object Lesson, page 335. Christ Object Lesson, page 335. And there was also some other passage that goes along with it as I was reading today. Let me share a couple of them. And this is James chapter 3, verse 2. It says, For in many things we offer all, if any man offend not in words, the same is perfect and able also to brittle the whole body. So we have to watch our words, because once it comes up, it can't go back in. So we have to be mindful we don't offend in words. Psalms 106, verse 32-33 says, they angered himself also at the water of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoke his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lip. And this was when Moses struck the rock, but he also spake advisedly with his lips. So we have to be careful. Evil, great people, those leaders, you know, if they get caught up, they can do things that are not good. So we have to be careful. And also Psalms 39, verse 1, it said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So we have to know how to possess our body, you know, and our tongue is a part of our body, the smallest part. And it's just one, but it's both, and it speaks great things. We have two eyes. We have two ears, two hands, two legs. But the smallest one and the only one, you know, can get us in trouble. So may we be mindful. May God continue to help us and guide us and to impress us, you know, what we should do and how we should take care of this machinery that he has given us. Amen. Thank you, Cecilia.
Amen. And nicely said, Sister Carla, because I'm telling you, I remember Sister Leola. Oh, my goodness. I was very quick with the mouth and would speak whatever to offend or not. If someone offended me or tell me something, I give it back to them and didn't even think of whether it hurt them or not, because, you know, and when you think about it, if someone big enough to dish it out, well, they should be able to accept what comes. I used to be like that, but I started studying James. James, I think, chapter 5, where he talk about that little hymn in a ship. He said that little hymn is the smallest thing in the ship, and it turned about that whole ship. He said, that little tongue in your mouth. And he said, that damaged the whole thing. So as you speak of that, I learned that long ago. But you know what? In me, God, the Bible says, no man can tame the tongue. But God tames that thing. And as the word of God tames it, you got to stay reminded. You got to keep it in mind. So that's what happened to me. I have to stay reminded of that tone by God's grace. By God's grace, everything. So I just want to thank you for bringing that up and sharing that with us today. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Now I receive and I stay humble. Whether it offend me or what, I receive it because I remember the words of Christ. He said, remember, no man offend his children, but they offend Christ. That's how he put it. You're not offending me, but you offend Christ. So, because you know what? Christ said, he bears our burden, so I give it to him, or you give it to him. So sometimes it may be hard for you to accept it, or you just got to say something. But Christ said, give it to me. I can bear it. I can handle it. So by God's grace, let me tell you something. It'd be hard, but that's what we have to do. So thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that. And everything my brothers and sisters share on this prayer line, it's a lesson for me. It's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for somebody. But you know what? Christ and all that's going to come to judgment. Lord have mercy. So I just want to thank God for everything that is mentioned. Help me to take heed and to learn from my mistakes. Amen. So brothers and sisters, as I open the last line, and we thank Sister Carla for her encouraging words, we are blessed on this prayer line. So we got another Carla, a caller. We're going to open his line. And brothers and sisters, press 1 and share. So 857-505, your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling. Amen?
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola and everyone on this prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I like to thank God, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I like to praise him because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. I want to say hallelujah. And Sister Miola, my prayer request today is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for the staff member, Brother Shaq. Mm-hmm. Lift up Brother Shaq in prayer. Pray for Brother Shaq. His name is starting in S-S-H. A-Q. Pray for Brother Shaq in prayer, the staff member. Pray for Sister Johanna. Her name is Sister Johanna, too. Lift her up in prayer. And Sister Miola, I don't know, can you guys come to Boston, too, Sister Miola, to preach the word for people out there, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, people at my job needs the Lord, Sister Miola. They need to hear the word. They need to hear the word of God. Sister Carla and Sister Miola, they need to hear the word of God from Bay Cove. They need to hear it, Sister Miola, at Bay Cove. So, Sister Miola, I'm praying that you guys will come to Boston one of these days, probably in July or maybe in August. You guys should come preach the word. Come preach the word, Sister Miola, just like you guys preach on the how you say that, Sister Miola? And you, Sienna, and you guys too should preach too in Boston one of these days. And I'm praying for that, Sister Miola, that you guys will come to Boston. Sister Power, Sister Carla, I'm praying for Sister Carla that the Lord will bring her to say a word on this on Boston, Sister Miola. I'm praying for her. Sister Miola, I'm praying for her, Sister Carla, that Sister Carla will come preach to people at Bay Cove because people at Bay Cove at day program, they need the Lord. They need to hear the word. They need to hear the word of God, Sister Carla, Sister Miola and Sister Carla. Let's pray hard at this moment because I wish you guys would come to Boston. Don't forget to mention that too, Sister Miola, on the Avilite Ministry. Avilite Ministry too should come to Boston. Come preach the word to at Bay Cove. Bay Cove start with a B, Sister Miola. B-A-Y-C-O-V-E. Bay Cove. Come preach at Bay Cove. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Brother Eli, we will lift up your family. And by God's grace, when the Lord bless the brothers and sisters to go to Boston, Massachusetts, by God's grace, he would lead and guide, Brother Eli. And you keep that in prayer, and we will also pray for that also. So as we are on this prayer line, we're going to lift it up tonight. Amen. So thank you again, Brother Eli, for coming to share. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. It's 51850. We're opening your line, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. And I'm just going to sing a little prayer song because I'm going to pray.
Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, dear Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, I come before you, nothing in my hands I bring, simple to you I come. And worthy and holy and done nothing good, O God. But Lord, it's just because of your mercy and your goodness I am here. Because your compassion fail not, O God, it is you every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Lord, you change us not, and your compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou you will forever will be. Thank you, God, for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, for your love, for your guidance, for your protection. For all you have been doing, oh God, we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. But God, you love us. You died on that old rugged cross, oh God, so that we have life to live. So Lord, help us to praise you. Help us to magnify you, Lord. Help us to exalt you. Help us to lift you up. Help us to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that is due unto your holy name, because you is God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. Lord, whatever you do, it is well done. Whatever you say, it is well said. You are the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer. And Lord, you are God of gods, the Lord of lords. Father God, we come before you this evening, Lord, this prayer line. You see, all of us who are on this prayer line, Lord, you know us by name and you know us by nature. You know our home, you know our family. So, Lord, we come before you this evening, God, with a thankful heart, asking you to bless us, to guide us, to keep us from the enemy, to keep us from everything that is unlike you, dear God. Father God, mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Make us into what you want us to be. Be in every state, oh God. You are everywhere at the same time. You know the evil and the good. Lord, you see what is happening in your world. You have created the world, and you did not create the world to be what it is now. But Lord, because of sin, everything is turned the other way. But oh God, please, Lord, help us to trust you, to believe in you, to honor you, to adore you, to magnify and to praise you. Lord, you say, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and we shall find. Knock, O God, and the door will be opened. So, Lord, we come this evening to ask, to knock, and to seek. O God, hear our cry. Do not turn away from me, O God. Forgive us of our sin, so that our prayer can come up to your sweet incense and your blessing may come down and bless your people. O God, be with the sick, the hungry, the naked, and provide shelter for the homeless. Lord God, you see what is going on. So many are dying. So many are hurting, O God. Mother is dying, father is dying, children are dying, and everyone is dying. But God, because of this sinful world, oh God, there's nothing we can do but trust you, God, with all our heart, and lead not unto our own understanding. Lord God, in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you, because you're God and God alone, and you will direct our path. Father, please be our refuge and strength, oh God, when we are very present help when we are in trouble. Lord, use our light and our salvation, oh God, and because you're our light and our salvation, we have nothing to fear but to live, because you will see us through. Mighty God, you hold the future. We know not what the future holds, but because you hold the future, Lord, all we have to do is trust you, because you're God alone. You're our shepherd, and because you're our shepherd, we lack nothing, God. Thank you for your word. Oh, God, you say in John 14:1-3, you have gone to prepare a place for us, and you will come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, O God, there we may be, and we must let not our heart be troubled. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to study your word. And oh God, help us, Jesus, to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh God, I put all those who are hurting this evening before you, my God, who have lost loved ones. Oh God, I put my friend Janet Schultz and her husband into your hand, oh God, with Jason, who is giving so much trouble. Mighty God, I just ask you, Lord, to intervene. Take full control of him, oh God. Direct him in the path that you want him to go and not the path that he wanted to go. Because Satan is out like a roaring lion trying to devour the family. But, oh God, you are God and God alone. Nothing too hard for you. It's God who created all men. And you know what purpose we are here for. So, Jesus, please, God, help us to put away self, to put away sin, and to come to righteousness, oh God, as all of us want to be saved. Father God, hear my prayer this evening, Lord. Do not turn your ear from me. But, Lord Jesus, be on this prayer line. Be with the speaker, and as we break the bread of life this evening, let him not be seen, but let you be seen in him. Oh God, so that soul may be blessed and come to know you, who to know is life eternal. Continue to bless us, continue to guide us. Continue to have your way, continue to let your will be done. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. And Lord God, you are God and God alone. Nothing is impossible with you. With you all things are possible. So help us, oh God, to do what we have to do in the way you want us to do it so that we may be blessed. Thank you for everything you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. I beg and I ask, and I give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus Christ in thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Barnaby, you had something else you were going to read?
Must I read something else?
I just thought I heard you say you was going to read a scripture or something. Okay, that's what you said. You was going to sing your song and you was going to pray. Okay, thank you. That's what you said. Thank you, Sister Barnaby. That's what you said. You sung your song and you prayed. So thank you, Sister Barnaby, for your prayer and your song. Because I was thinking something else that you had a scripture, but thank you very much for giving us that prayer and praying for us. You know, we always need prayers on the prayer line. We thank you, okay? So thank you, sisters and brothers. Sister Barnaby has offered a prayer for us. And I would like to, when we go into prayer, we're going to be going into prayer later. Just about 10 minutes, but I have a list. I want brothers and sisters, I have a list. I know you have a list. And this list I want to read out that we can continue to pray for one another. And my list here is praying for Brother Yudi, because you know Brother Yudi and Brother Jensini had started this prayer line. We want to keep them in prayer. Brother Richardson. On the prayer line, keep my husband, Brother Ray, in prayer. I'm going down the list. There was Brother Jeff, and there was Sister Powell. I'm going down the line, and there was Sister Naomi, Sister Carrie, Brother Lester. There was Sister Kenyatta. All these brothers and sisters that were on the prayer line. And then we had some children. I don't know if they were children, but they were from Arkansas. Kevin and Jelana and Kim and Hayden. Hayden, I think you say that name right. And we also ask in prayer for these others. We have a prayer for everyone who receive literatures and books and Bible studies. Pray for them. And also Sister Carla, Brother O'Neill, Sister Katie, Sister Katie family, Dominique, Autumn, Hakeem, Shamar. She has a brother John and Wanda, Sister Carla family, Brother O'Neill's family, Sister Powell's family, my family, Sister Brenda and Brother John and their family. Oh, we have so many brothers and sisters. I have Sister Stephanie and family, Sophia and family. All these we ask to please keep in prayer. We have Brother Serge, and look like this brother, I don't know if this Brother Serge family. Notice Brother Richardson family, Casey, Deanna, Malcolm, and we have Rita, and Sister Mary was on the prayer line. We have all these brothers and sisters reacting that you, Sister Barnaby and her family, keep all of us in prayer. And Sister Power had her grandchildren. They're called Naomi, Denise, and Ajar. I can't pronounce that name. Oh, we have Debbie and Nicole. We need to keep everyone in prayer and our family when we go into prayer. We just collectively, you can just say Sister Powell family or Sister Leola family or Sister Barnaby family. I just shared all names that we have. Or you can say it's Brother Eli family. Instead of going through all names and missing Sister Tamiko's family, just give like that when we go in general prayer. And right now we're going to go in prayer because we do need prayers. Amen. And I'm going to ask Sister Powell first. Hold on, just give me a second. Let me get back on this screen. Give me a second. Okay. We don't have no one else to press one, but we want to pray for our brothers and sisters. And also we want to mention brothers and sisters. Sister Powell, Brother O'Neill, and Sister Carla was here in Louisiana last weekend for 3 days. And that was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sister Powell left on Tuesday. But we was out on the battlefield on where the bridge. And we was out there handing out book sacks, praying for the homeless and the community. We received a lot of people. And we prayed. And then we had food that we served. And I tell you, it was beautiful. The people was humble and they were receiving the prayers. They received the letters. Some people come and just said, "Oh, I want, can I get a book or can I get some literature?" And we was just happy that, you know, God just sent some in to get literature. So I'm going to ask Sister Powell to begin praying, and I will offer a prayer by God's grace. Sister Barnaby had prayed, so we're going to open Sister Powell line for her to give off a prayer. Sister Power, I called some names. All these names that we had from the beginning, by God's grace, if you can lift those names up in prayer, amen?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. And we are just encouraging our brothers and sisters that when we are in our closet, right, we asking you all to remember these names, not just only here on the line, but in your daily prayer inside, you know, wherever you are, to lift up these names. Because you know what? On the prayer, prayer can change everything, right? So let us pray.
Oh, what a fortress of glory in thy. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Lord, we want to thank you that we have a Father that we call upon your name. We are asking you, Lord, lead us not into temptation. We are asking you, Lord, to forgive us of all our many sins. We are asking you, Lord, this evening, as we come boldly to the throne, to cover us with your robe of righteousness. Fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit. Use us mightily, Lord. See within us if there is anything within us that should not be. We ask you to remove it from us, especially self. Self is a destruction, Lord, to each and every one of us. So this evening we are giving you up to self so that we will just keep our eyes on you. Heavenly Father, you have heard the names, Lord, and the requests from our dear sister, dear Lord, praying on behalf of your children. Lord, first, when we first started, Lord, you have known that this prayer line, we have seen that it was not started, Lord, on self. It was started with you. You were the one who had instructed us, Lord, to start it. And you are the one, dear Father, who used those young people, Brother Jensen and Brother Yudi, Lord, and all the other sisters, the Umi, Father, myself, Sister Leona, and Sister Carla, Brother Serge, Lord, and Jeff, Lord, and all those, dear Lord, the name that was called Lester, Terry, dear Father, and all Brother O'Neill, Lord, Brother, all the other brothers from New York City, Brother Hakeem James, Hakeem Burt, Lord, all those young men, dear Father, was here on this line. Anita, our family from Louisiana, our young children, them, dear Lord, who come on this line, dear Father, colleagues, Lord Jesus, all those who, Martina, dear Father, Iman, Lord, and all those in the Sister Campanelli, and everyone, Brother Rick, Brother Ray, Lord Jesus, and all those individuals. There are so many names, Lord. Brother Wade, dear God, who gave us his property that we could start our first step meeting on, dear Lord. Brother Wade and his wife accepted the current message and got baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. To give you praises for it. We bring honor and glory how you have allowed us, how you brought us together, Sister Carla, Lord, and all the young people, Sister Naomi from Florida, came up several times, dear Lord. Father, Sister Rose, and all those brothers and young people from the campus, dear Lord, was all with us, dear Father. So, dear Father, we know, dear Lord, that you was in this, planting this seed, Lord. And as you plant the seed, Lord, we saw it going up to go. Lord, we can say thank you because it has been growing, bearing fruit, Lord. And now, as we come boldly to the throne room, Lord, we are asking you to allow us, dear Lord, to continue to do your will. The least, Lord, we have seen the seed of plant resistance, Carlo, Lord, and company he went over belief. And Lord, you know that our belief brothers and sisters is still over there and they need our help, they need our prayer. So Heavenly Father, allow us, Lord Jesus, that we will see the need so that we can go and send trust and send little help for those individual, Lord, in Belize, Lord, on behalf of Sister Carla. We also lift up the Philippine, Lord, project, Lord, that is there, dear Lord, as the seed have been planted. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to allow us to water it and that it will be grown and bear fruit, Lord, so that it will bring honor. We want to thank you, dear Lord, for those who you have planted the seed, Lord, in our own neighborhood. The seeds have been planted in Jamaica Advent Light, Lord, with the Children Project, the Food Project, Lord, the Housing Project, Lord, with Alex Nation and Rosie Project and the other projects of helping others, Lord. All these, Lord, spring from the Advent Light prayer line, Lord. So we just want to give you thanks, we want to give you praises, we want to bring honor to you because we could not do it alone without your presence. So you have worked with through us, Lord, as the representative, as the ambassador, as your servant, and be faithful to you, Lord.
We have seen the fruit, Lord, from your labor. So we just want to thank you all the names this evening. Lord, we may not be able to remember them, but we present Sister Leola and her family members, Lord, and our community to you. We lift them up to you, everyone, dear Lord. When she goes to Sam, Heavenly Father, when she goes to Costco, everyone know her in Costco. Everyone know her in Sam. And just as all they know her, and she presents the tracts on them and the literature to them, dear Father, God, we ask you, Lord, so as you water them, that as they read it, Lord, they will be comforted and they will come to know you. Lord, we lift up Sister Carla and her family, Lord Nicholas and Amanda. Lord, we thank you for her, Lord, the life we live and how she has demonstrated the work, dear Lord, just working and be a part, Lord, and not shift from any work. Lord, she works so much for you, and I just give you thanks. We also lift up her grandmother, over 90 years, Lord, and still who is praising you and giving you thanks, Lord. So, and also her family members and their two precious children. Lord, we ask you to touch them and allow them that they may continue to follow you, Lord Jesus, and they will lift you up. And as young people, they will share with others the love that you have extended upon them. We also this evening, Lord, give you thanks and give you praise. Brother Yudi, dear Lord, and his family, Lord, his children, dear Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift up Melissa to you. We lift up, Lord, the project that is there, the store. Lord, we lift them up that they have, you will touch their heart, Lord Jesus, and they will, you will draw everyone close to you. Father, as they do your work, help them to demonstrate your character in everything. We also lift up Brother Bernard and his family, Lord. You know all about Brother Bernard. He's driving the truck, Father God, so we ask you to cover him under your blood with your protection, Lord, and also his wife. Draw them closer and closer to you. We lift up Brother Mazar and his family member, Lord, his mom who he was taking care of, Lord, as a young man taking care of his mom, we ask you to provide for him and give him all that he needs, dear Lord, that he can supply all the needs for his family. We also lift up Elder Richardson and Sister Richardson. We lift up her, his son, Lord Jesus, our Elder Richardson, Juna, and also their grandchildren. We place them in your care. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Naomi. Lord, a bright star was working for you. Heavenly Father, draw her closer to you, dear God. Bring her back to the fold of truth, dear Lord. Bless her mother and her family in Florida. We ask you, Lord, to keep them. We lift up Brother Jeff, a young man that was on the street that got the message and asked you for repentance, and his heart was repented and you were forgiven and he was following you. We lift him up to you, dear Lord. Have your own sweet way. We also lift up Jen Sinney, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have not been hearing from him and what he has been doing as a young man. Lord, presenting your word to and fro, we ask you to strengthen him and bring him. If he is not in the fold, Lord, you know, and we do not know, but you know everything about this young man, but he was passionate for you, sharing your truth, and Lord, we just lift them up to you. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister and Sophia to you in California. While she was running on the street night upon night, could not stay in her home, Lord. We have to pray, be praying for her sometimes through the night, Lord Jesus. She called for prayer. Lord, we have not heard anything from her. We lift her up to you, Father. You are God, and you are God. Kenyatta, I think her name is. a young woman who decided to follow you, dear Lord, and the young lady who had got baptized, dear Father, in Sister Leola Church. We lift her up to you, dear Lord. Oh, God, you do so much. What more could we ask of you for what you have done? Brother Lester, Lord, we thank you that he still hold on to you. He got married, Lord, and his wife is studying doctor now in over the our Adventist facility. So we ask you, Lord, to strengthen them. Lord, we lift up this young lady, Lord. The name comes because I cannot even remember the name, but Lord, how she have struggled, Lord, and how you have allowed her, Lord, to go through, Lord, and become a doctor, doing her residency, Lord. You are so good, Leona, Lord, Top, Sister Top, Lord Jesus. We thank you for answering prayer, for what we have seen you have done with our young people, Lord. Continue to pour your blessings upon us as the older adults, that we can strengthen these young ones. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can help them, Lord. And we can allow them to know that we love them. We lift up Sister Stephanie even now, dear Lord, as she is in Orlando, dear Father, at the conference and the things that is happening in dear Lord. We ask you for wisdom, knowledge as the educator, that she will be able to stand up for her education, our educators, them, Lord, who they are placing all different things of the world to the children in the classroom, Lord. Help them that they may stand up, Lord Jesus, for the truth. The truth is becoming lie, and the lie becomes truth, Lord. Have your own sweet way, dear Lord. This world is God. But Heavenly Father, you have a set of people, a little group of people who are praying, a little group of people who are faithful to you, a little group of people who depend upon you, dear God, because we cannot do it alone. So we are depending upon you, sister. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for all the names, then, dear Lord. You know all the names, sister. Sister Betty, we place them to you, Father God. Sister Barnaby, we lift her up and her family. Sister Constantine, we lift them up on their family, because you know everything about us and what we need. What more could we ask of you this evening, dear Lord, as we gather at the welcome table? We may not have a speaker, Lord, but we have your words, Lord. Your word is dear like a light and a lamp to our heart, and we can do what you want us to do. And as we present all of these names, Heavenly Father, one thing we are grateful about on this life, that you point us to where you are in the most holy sanctuary in heaven, doing a great work there. So as we present and lift up, Lord, all these names to you in the most holy place, dear Father, we are asking you and we have faith in you. We believe in you. We know, dear Lord, that your word will not come void. So we are asking you, let your will be done this evening on this land. Pour out your sweet Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. And we lift up those from Netherlands, those on the internet. We lift up those from Canada. We lift up those from China. We lift up those from Washington, D.C. We lift up those from Tennessee. We lift up those from Florida. We lift up those from Jamaica, Japan, and also Asia, and Asia, dear Lord. Please, Lord, touch their hearts so that those who do not know you, while they listen to your message, that the Holy Spirit will work within them, dear Father, and they will come to be a part of you. Bless us this night, we pray. Hear our cry, Lord. We cry out to you boldly to the throne. And we are depending upon you. Cover each one of us, Lord Jesus.
every one of us and every name under your robe of righteousness in Christ Jesus, because, Lord, we know that is that only your blood going to cover us so that we will enter into your eternal rest. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for providing for us, we pray. And we say amen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for all of that prayer. And I'm just going to say this. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our mother on this prayer line to pray for all of us, Father. And knowing that our elderly Father is the one that's keeping these things together, Lord, I thank you for Sister Barnaby and Sister Power, the mothers of the prayer line, that they would. And now, Father, as we accept and agree in prayer, dear Father, I pray for this message as we listen to this message, the coming storm. And, Father, I'm asking that you bless this word and bless the ears that we hear it. Father, thank you so much. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we playing the song, The Coming Storm, and this by Akeem Bright. Let me begin it so we can, I'm going to see, could I fast? Hold on just a second. No, that's the wrong one, brothers and sisters.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah. Okay, this is it.
How many of us believe that we're living in a time when we're living in a time in which a storm is coming to the people of God?
Amen.
A storm is coming to the people of God. And when you know a storm is coming, if you know a physical storm was coming, wouldn't you do some physical preparation for that storm? Right? If you know a storm was coming, you know it was going to be severe. You know that it could be flooding. You know that it can destroy even your house. If you knew something serious was coming, would not you take heed to the signs? Would not you make preparation? Would not you buy more food? Would not you make sure that all the windows, all the doors are shut and closed? Amen?
Yes.
Would not you make preparation? And how much more should the people of God make preparation for a coming storm that is coming upon the earth such as never was? We should make preparation as well. Amen?
Yes.
And as Noah was shut in the ark before his coming storm, God's people must be shut in Christ, sealed in Christ before the storm comes. Amen? And this is what we need to study today, that if we want to prepare for the coming storm, we must be close to Christ. Amen?
Yes.
We must be sealed in Christ. And if we're sealed in Christ, would we keep sinning? So we would live a life without sin by the grace of God, by the power of God. Amen?
Yes.
Not through our own strength, but through the power of God. And I want to show you that this evening. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 21. Are we there? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Father, pour out thy spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says this, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of where? Of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says, not everyone who comes to church, not everyone who brings Bibles, not everyone who simply calls the Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? He who does the will of my Father, which is where? In heaven. So only those who enter heaven will be those, according to the Bible, who do God's will. So if we come to church and call ourselves Christian, is that enough to put us in heaven? If we have our membership on the church list, is that enough to put us in heaven? If we are raised in the faith, if we are raised in a Christian home, is that enough to put us in heaven? If our parents have faith in Christ, is that enough to put us in heaven? No, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And notice that this is speaking of Christians. Does the world call Jesus Lord? It is the Christians, the professed people of God, who call Jesus Lord. Is that clear? Not everyone who calls Jesus Lord, who attends church, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, let's make a comparison. If those who do God's will enter heaven, notice what the Bible says in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Turning in our Bibles to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're just doing a little study, amen? We're going to John chapter 3. The Bible says not everyone who says, Lord, 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 enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of God's Father, the will of the Father, will enter into heaven, right? Now notice John chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 3, it says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So only those who are born again, only those who receive a new life will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is that clear? So those who do the Father's will are those who are born again. Is that clear? Notice what the Bible says in verse 5 now. Verse 5 now says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the who? Of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So those who will do God's will in the last days are those who receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Is that clear? So there are many people who claim to have Bibles, many people who claim to go to church, many people who claim to have Christian homes or Christian families or Christian professions, but yet if they're not doing the will of the Father, if they have not received the baptism of God's Holy Spirit, they will not enter heaven. Go with me now to the book of Revelation 22. Revelation 22. We're laying a foundation. Amen? Amen. Revelation 22. The Bible says in verse number 14 that all those who will enter into heaven will keep the commandments of God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14. Are we there? The Bible says this. Blessed are they that do his what? Commandments. That they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 14 says, For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There's a comparison. Those who do the commandments of God, those who are living in the life of Christ, will enter into heaven. They do the Father's will. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those who have not done the Father's will or received the baptism of God's Holy Spirit, they will be without of the city. Is that clear? And notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. We're letting the Bible speak. Amen? Let's let the Bible speak and let's put all these scriptures and all this text together. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. Are we there? 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24 says, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, that's in Christ, and Christ in him. And hereby we know that he, Christ, dwells in us by who? By the Spirit which he hath what? Given us. So all those who will keep the commandments and enter into heaven are those who receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Is that clear? It says that those who keep the commandments, we know that they have the Holy Spirit because they keep the commandments. It says, hereby we know that the Holy Spirit abides in us when we keep his what? Commandments. So only those who have kept, let's go back. Only those who keep the commandments will enter into heaven, which shows that they're doing the Father's will, which shows that they receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. You know, we can come to church and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can sing and clap and pray and preach and not have the Holy Spirit. And only those who receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit will be ready for Jesus to come and even ready for the coming storm. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going back there. Matthew chapter 7. The reason why we're laying this foundation is because the Bible says, and we just read it, that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, that when the Holy Spirit abides in us, we do what? We keep the commandments. And can you keep the commandments and break the commandments at the same time? So if we're living in sin, that is a direct link that shows us that we need the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, it says, If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto those who what? Ask. So if we're struggling in sin, what do we need to do? We need to spend time in prayer. Is that clear? And if we're struggling in sin, John 6 and verse 63 says, The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if we need the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, we need to spend time in prayer and we need to spend time in the study of God's word. And only those who have received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and bring it into their hearts and lives can live out the commandments. Is that clear? Now, notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 22. It says this, many, how many? Is it few or many? Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name had done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Do these people receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? They're living in sin. Do they have the Holy Spirit? No. Now notice this, verse 24. Watch this now. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? Do you remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins? Did the wise have oil in their lamps? And what did the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. Did the fools have oil in their lamps? And the oil represents again the Holy Spirit. So only those who receive the Holy Spirit and are living a life victoriously over sin will build their house on the rock. The Bible says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So those who are wise, those who receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they're praying and they're pleading. They're studying and they're reading. They're begging God for a new life, for a new heart. They're receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is those people who, when they build their house, they build on the rock. What does the rock represent? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going back to Matthew 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4, this rock is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, it says this, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and that for they drank of the spiritual rock, that rock followed them, and that rock was who?
Christ.
That rock was Christ. So only those who are vitally connected to Christ will receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and be ready when the storm of persecution shall come. Is that clear? But those who are not vitally connected to Christ and have not received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit will not be ready when the storm comes. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going back there. Matthew chapter 7. Now, we're going to make some points here, and I want you to catch these points we're going to make. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 7, notice what the Bible says in verse number 25. Because those who build their house upon the rock, they're vitally connected to Christ. The Bible says in verse number 25, and the what? The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. So did a storm come?
Yes.
And when the storm came, those who were vitally connected in a relationship with God, when the storm came, they were able to stand. But notice what the Bible says in verse 26. And everyone that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the what? Sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the what? Great was the fall of it. Catch this now. The foolish build their house on the sand. The wise build their house upon the rock. The rock represents Jesus Christ. Amen? Think about it this way. The Bible says that they both are building what? Houses. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the who? So is our body, does our body represent a house? Yes. So everyone who walks around can represent a house. So there are foolish Christians and there are fool and wise Christians within the church. We all represent a house. Watch this now. Now, we all claim to be Christians, we all carry Bibles, we all come to church, but yet those who are building upon a relationship with Christ are vitally connected to Christ. When the storm comes, they will stand. But those who have not built a relationship with God through prayer and through the study of God's Word, when the storm comes, they will fall. Now, catch this now. Where does Christ want us to build? Because notice, when you build a house, you get a foundation, right? You get a house, you get a foundation. Then you start to build. You need clay or you need some kind of cement. And as you build the house, it takes time to settle. And that settling of the house needs to sit down and make sure that you don't rock back and forth when the storm comes, right? You need to make sure your house is stable, that your house is sealed, that your house will not move. And all those who will be ready for Christ to come need to make sure that they will not move when the storm comes. Christ must be steady and in our hearts strong. Christ is the foundation. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now catch this. Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So Christ wants to put his Holy Spirit in the house. Is that clear? Now it goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. And the heart is a symbol of the mind. We said this over and over again. Christ wants to dwell in our hearts and our minds. So we represent this house. And if Christ dwells, and catch this, can you see what's on the inside of the house from the outside?
No.
See, we can't see each other's hearts. Amen? We can't see each other's motives. I don't know if you're filled with the Spirit of God or if you're filled with the devil. I don't know what you're putting inside of your house. Amen? And at the same time, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. I don't know what's supporting you and why you're doing what you're doing. Some people come up to sing and preach and do all these things or claim to be Christians. We don't know the motive in which they're doing it, right? But it will be revealed when the storm comes who have put their house on the rock and who have put their house upon the sand. And only those who brought Christ into their house will stand when the storm of persecution shall come. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit in your heart? Are you obtaining victory over sin? Or are you falling into sin? For if we're falling into sin, when the storm of persecution shall come, we will be like that house that will be drifted away. Ask yourself, what is my home like? Is the Holy Spirit in my home? If the Holy Spirit is not in my home, when the storm of persecution comes, my family will drift away. Ask ourselves, the house, does this church fill with the Holy Spirit, my friends? And if the church is not filled with God's Holy Spirit, those who are unconverted, those who have not put Christ into their hearts, will do what? They will drift away. We must make sure we are vitally connected to Christ. Amen? The Bible says, go with me now in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Christ wants to come into our hearts. And unless we have his law in our hearts, we will not be able to stand in the last great crisis. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. Are we there? It says this, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. I got it right the first time. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. Are we there? The Bible says, the wise in heart will receive what? Commandments. But a prating fool shall what? Fall. So I need to bring God's commandments into my heart. And God's commandments is a transcript of his what?
Character.
So those who have the character of Christ before the storm comes will be able to stand in the last great crisis. If I don't have the character of Christ, if I don't have the love of Jesus in my heart, if I'm not walking in loving obedience to all his commandments, I will not stand when the crisis comes. Is that clear? And notice that the Bible says that they build their house upon the rock. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Christ must be the foundation on which we build our lives. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? So we are God's building. Verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have built the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. And notice, after we build upon this foundation of Christ, a storm will come. Verse number 12 now says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest when? For the day shall declare it. What day? Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, and he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse number 16 now says, know ye not that you are what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, when the test shall come, they will stand. But those who do not have the Spirit of God in them, as the time of testing will come, as the fire will come, as the persecution will come, as the coming storm will come, they will not be able to stand in that crisis. Do you see why we must prepare for Christ to come? Do you see why daily we need to receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit? Do you see why daily we need to bring him into his own house? Do you know that Jesus is homeless? In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was speaking to someone, and he looked at them and said, foxes have holes. Matthew chapter 8, he says, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to do what? Lay his head. So Jesus was what? He was homeless. And if you read Matthew 25, it says that only those who bring, accept Jesus as a stranger and bring them in, he says, I was a stranger and you took me what? In. Only those who bring Jesus in will be saved. Christ is outside of our hearts. He needs a home in our hearts. And unless we bring Jesus in, Christ says, we will not be saved. For then he says, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have brought the stranger in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in Revelation chapter 3, he comes to the church and he's knocking at the church of Laodicea and saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will do what? Hear my voice and will do what? Open the door. I will do what? Come in. You can come to church, but Christ is not in your heart. You can have the Bible, but Christ is not in your heart. And unless Christ comes into our hearts, we will not be ready for the coming crisis. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 12, 13. Ezekiel 13. Now, friends, we saw that the Bible says that this wind that will come and beat upon the house, it will beat upon both houses, beat upon the house that is on Christ and beat upon the house that is not on Christ. That wind will destroy the house that is on the sand, but the house that is built on Christ will not be destroyed. Amen? And notice that this wind is a stormy wind. A what? A stormy wind. The Bible says in Ezekiel 13, in verse 11, it says this, say unto them which doth it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. That's laying the house on the clay, it shall fall. It says this, there shall be an overflowing shower. What is that? An overflowing shower. A storm, right? Goes on to say, oh ye great hailstones, hailstones shall fall. And a what? A stormy wind shall rend it. So what kind of wind will destroy those on the sand? A stormy wind. What kind of storm is coming in the last days? A stormy wind. The Bible says in verse 12, it says, lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? It says in verse 13, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a what? A stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in my what? In my anger, and great hailstones, and in my fury to consume it. So the anger of the Lord, the wrath of God, will be poured out, and this is what is called the what? The stormy wind. And if we are not in Christ, sealed and ready for him to come, the Holy Spirit is fully in us, we have his character, when this stormy wind is let loose, then we will not be saved. And only those who are building their house upon the rock, only those who are vitally connected to Jesus, only those who brought the Holy Spirit in the home of their hearts and lives will be those who will stand when the stormy wind takes place. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're studying the Word of God, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 19, and notice, before the storm comes, your house must be secured, amen? Before the storm comes, our own salvation with Christ must be secured. Amen? And this is called the sealing. The what?
Sealing.
The sealing. So only those who receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and are vitally connected to Christ will be sealed, so when the storm comes, they will not be moved. The Bible said, we're seeing it right here, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Are we there? Now watch this. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, even the foundation for the wise man's house. Amen? It says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this what? Having this seal. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are what? His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Depart from sin. So those who are in the church, who love the Lord, who brought the Lord in, are the wise virgins who build their house upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if we build our house on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we will be sealed. Do you see that? And then the Bible says, the Lord knoweth them that are who? His. So even though there's people who claim to be Christians, who claim to bring Bibles, who claim to sing and preach and do all these things for Christ, but they're not building on the foundation of Jesus, not vitally connected to Jesus through prayer and through the outpouring of His Spirit, through the study of His Word, they will not receive God's Spirit. And God says He knows those who are His. A shaking will take place. Do you see this, my friends? Now let's take it a little bit further now. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, let's go there, Revelation chapter 7, and this same sealing process that is taking place is going on right now, amen? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 1, Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 1, are we there? All right, the Bible says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four what? The winds of the earth. And what does that wind represent? A stormy wind. All right, let's do something. Hold your finger in Revelation 7. Let's go to Jeremiah 51. Hold your finger in Revelation 7. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, the Bible says in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 1. The Bible says this. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a what? A destroying wind. So the wind represents destruction. Amen? So there's a time of destruction, a time of persecution, a time that will come to the people of God, which will test them, a time of tribulation. Is that clear? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go back to Revelation 7, but Proverbs chapter 1, we're seeing from the Bible what this wind represents. We saw it is a destroying wind, and the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 27, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 27, are we there? It says this, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27, it says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as what? A whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. So the Bible says that this wind represents destruction. This wind represents a destroying effect or a persecution time. Is that clear? So before the time of persecution, before the time of destruction, God will allow people to be sealed in Him. Just like it was in Matthew chapter 7, they were sealed in Him and then a storm came. So it is in Revelation chapter 7. The Bible says in Revelation 7 and verse 1. Are we there? Going back there, it says this. And after these things, I saw four angels come standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have what? Sealed the servants of God where? In their foreheads. Only those who have brought Christ in their foreheads. What's in our foreheads, my friends? The mind is in the forehead. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse, let's go there, Romans 7, that we serve God with our minds, with our foreheads. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, going there, Romans chapter 7, notice what the Bible says in verse number, Romans chapter 7 and verse number 25. It says this, Romans 7, 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So where does Christ want to come into? our minds, our hearts, our souls. And those who have accepted Christ and brought him into their heart and their mind all of the time and are preparing to be sealed in him, Christ will then say that he can let go of those winds of destruction, those winds of persecution. Is that clear? Do you see how God is so loving? That he is waiting for us to be so sealed in him. But Christ will not wait for long. For the Bible says God knows those who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, God says depart from who? Iniquity. Depart from sin. But if we remain in sin, Christ will then let go of the wind because he has given us time, my friends. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should do what? Perish, but that all come to our repentance. And if we don't accept Christ and bring him into our hearts, we will not be prepared for the sealing. Now watch this. We're going to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 4. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. Are we there? The Bible says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So those who do not receive the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, those who do not beg God to come into their hearts by prayer and the study of God's word, when the storm is let loose, the Bible says they will receive that destruction. Do you see that? But those who have received the seal of God and are prepared for Christ to come will be able to stand in the storm. Amen? God wants us to be ready for this storm. And notice what the Bible says. It says the seal of God is placed where? In the forehead. What does the seal of God represent? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. The seal of God has three components. Amen? Just like a seal for on earth has three components. We're going to Isaiah chapter 8. Notice what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. Are we there? It says, bind up the what? The testimony. Seal the what? Seal the law among my disciples. So the seal is in God's law. What is the seal in the law of God? What commandment? The fourth commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, right? But if you read on, then it says, let's go there, Exodus chapter 20. We're going to see the seal of God in three components. And this is how we know the seal of God is in three components. The president of the United States, doesn't he have a seal?
Yes, sir.
And the president has three components. He has a name, he has a title, and he has a domain or a territory. His name is Barack Obama. His title is the president, and his territory is the United States. Amen? So God has a seal, which is his name, his title, and his territory. And notice what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Are we there?
Yeah.
It says this, for in 6 days the who? The Lord. That's his name. The Bible says he did what? He made or created. That's his title, creator. The Bible says the heaven and the... So that's his territory. Is that clear? So the seal of God is composed of your name, your title, and your territory. Many of us, we acknowledge that the seal is the Sabbath. Amen? We come to church on the Sabbath. We acknowledge that the seal is the Sabbath. But just because, now catch this point, just because we acknowledge that the seal of God is the Sabbath, God's name, God's title, God's territory, does not mean that we will be sealed. Is that clear? For when the testing time will come, those who have not been sealed during the time of the sealing, but acknowledge that this is Christ's seal, will be shifted out of God's church. Is this clear, my friend? Do you know why we can't be content at Seventh-day Adventists? We can't be content if we know the truth. Amen? We must be settled in Christ. Now watch this point. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3 that they received the seal of God in their foreheads. And in Revelation chapter 14 verse 1, it says the 144,000, they have the Father's name written in their foreheads. So is it clear that the name of God and the seal of God are one and the same? Now watch this point now, because we're going to see what will bring the storm. Amen? So the seal of God and the name of God are one and the same. Go with me in your Bible to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we dealt with in last night the signs of the times, amen? And we saw that all these signs are taking place all around the world, pointing to Christ's second coming. And notice that all these signs took place, signs in the political world, signs in the economic world, signs in the religious world, signs in the social world, all these signs in the natural world are pointing to Christ's coming, but we say, yet, why has not Christ come yet? Notice what the Bible says now in Matthew 24 and verse 28, verse 8, Matthew 24, verse 8. It says this, all these things are the what? The beginning of sorrows. Now watch verse 9 now. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for what? My name's sake. We said the seal of God is connected to the name of God, which shall be sealed in the forehead, so the name of God must be equal to the Sabbath. Watch this. And if we're hated for all nations for Christ's namesake, we will be hated for all nations for the keeping of the Sabbath. Not clear to you? Let me give you some more scripture. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. We're studying the Word of God. Amen? Isaiah 57. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 and verse number 15 that the name of God is holy. Amen? Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Watch this now. Isaiah 57 verse 15. The Bible says this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is what? Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now the Bible says, we'll stop right there. So the Bible says God's name is what? Question. Is the Sabbath holy? Now watch this. We're going to study some more. Isaiah 56. Let's go there now. Isaiah 56. So when the Bible says that we will be hated for Christ's namesake, we'll be hated for keeping Christ's name holy. The Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is Christ's name. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 56 and verse 2. Isaiah 56 and verse 2. Let's see this from the Word of God. It says, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold upon it, that keepeth the what? Keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak and saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Notice verse number 4. Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep the Sabbath, choose the things that please me, and take hold of my what? Covenant. Verse number 5, even unto them I will give in mine house and within my walls a place and a what? A name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting what? Name that shall not be what? Cut off. What is the everlasting name that God will give us that shall not be cut off? Verse number 6 now says, also, the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love his name, to love the name of the Lord, the Bible says, to be a servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my what? Covenant. So the Bible says in the last days, we will be afflicted and killed for Christ's name's sake. The name is holy. The Sabbath is what? Holy. So in the last days, before Christ shall come, we're going to see all these things around the world, but Christ says this is just the beginning. The end will come where they will take us and kill us over God's Sabbath. And if we're not connected to God on the foundation of Christ through prayer and the study of God's word, when the storm of persecution comes over the Sabbath, we will leave the church. Do you see how serious this is? Everything I showed you from the Bible, now I'm going to read to you from the Spirit of Prophecy. Great Controversy, page 608. It says this. As the storm approaches, a large class who profess faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth will abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. Now catch this. We're going to break this down. It says a large class, a large people, did not we see that Christ will say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, a large class. Let's examine our hearts. And it's not talking about those in the world. It's talking of those in the church, a large class, the Bible says, as the storm approaches, a large class who profess faith. And the third angel's message. Question, who alone teaches the first, the second, and the third angel's message? Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And only those who are Seventh-day Adventist Christians who profess to believe this truth. The Bible says that when the storm approaches, notice what they will do. It says they have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth. How do you get sanctified? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if we're not bringing God's word into our heart, God's word into our life, God's word into our mind, can we be sanctified by it? We need to bring it in, amen? It goes on to say, they will join the ranks of the opposition by uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit. They will have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Catch this. If you have a hard time now spending time in the Word of God, if you have a hard time now praying, if you have a hard time now gathering your family for family worship, but you have an easy time to just turn on the television and watch TV, easy time to just listen to music, easy time to go out, play games, do all these things, but you have a hard time spending time with God, do you think that when persecution comes and when we won't be able to buy or sell, when we have no food and no money, that it will be easy to just serve God like we're doing now? It will take so much love for God and so much Holy Spirit power in our hearts that when we're faced with all these trials and tests and persecution, that we will stand with Christ. Yes. Friends, are you connected to Jesus? It goes on to say, they view matters in nearly the same light. Men, you know, we come to that point already where the church views matters the same as the world. We bring their music into our churches. We want to dress the way they're dressing. We want to look the way that they're looking. We want to listen to what are we already viewing matters in the same light? And if we're like that, we're not building upon the rock, but we're building upon the what? Upon the sand. Goes on to say, men of talent and pleasing address who once rejoice in the truth employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren when Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith. These apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and the false reports and intuitions to stir up the rulers against them. So those who are unconverted will begin to turn us in. Do you know since the beginning of time, brothers have always gotten a conflict? Cain and Abel. One wanted to serve God, the other does not want to serve God. Both professed to love God, both came to church, both made an altar, both were worshiping, one was worshiping in spirit and in truth, the other one